2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's all stand, please. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. And, of course, as we read, parallel this passage to the day we're living in. And you don't have to use much imagination to do so, folks. Just look, open your eyes, see what's going around. And, of course, the Word of God is being fulfilled before our eyes. But let's begin reading here in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning, never able to become to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The picture Paul has painted here is not a pretty one. It's, of course, that in the last days, and that's where we're at. We're living there. Paul talks of the last day sins. He talks about how corrupt the world is. He talks about how that those that will stand for God are going to face persecution. But notice the attitude that Paul admonishes Timothy in verse 14. In spite of the wickedness of the world, in spite of living in the last days, in spite of facing persecutions, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them, but continue thou. And tonight I want to preach this message, how to keep doing right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for just being a part of a church, Lord, where we can know, Lord, where we can come to a place where people are saved and serving you is exciting, Lord. What a great place to be. Now, God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to do right. Lord, help us not to get weary in the work. God, help us to keep on going till you come. Jesus, I believe you're soon to return to come to get us. Help us to be busy. Help us to be occupied till you come. Lord, we love you. Bless our service this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just wanted to use this passage of scripture as a springboard. Tonight we're going to look at a Bible example of someone who did not keep doing right. And I thank God that the Bible tells us that he gives us certain people in the Bible as examples that we can look at and learn how to pattern our lives after. So let's take our Bibles and flip back to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13. And we're going to look at the life of Samson tonight. And look how Samson, in essence, he was brought up right. He had a great calling on his life. He had huge potential, but he did not keep doing what's right. And we're going to look at him tonight, and then we'll teach through this here. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, a familiar passage. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto the Lord from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And then if you'll just flip on over to the end of that chapter, let's read verses 24 and 25. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. See, we have Samson here who, Samson's life began right. He had the right kind of parents. He had the calling of God on his life. And as a young man, no doubt, being raised as a Nazarite, he had a strict vow upon his life. And Samson began doing right. But of course, we know from the end of Samson's life that he did not continue on that path. And of course, the next chapter tells how that Samson end up getting married. Verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Samson already is beginning going down a path that he shouldn't be going down. And you know the story. And you know how that he ends up marrying this woman. He throws a big party and challenges them in there with the riddle at verses 12 and 14. And of course they can't figure it out. And Samson's own wife, she deceives him. And she's more interested in money than she is in her love for Samson. And you know what? Here's where Samson should have learned what the wrong kind of girl was going to do to him. Here was the crossroads in Samson's path. But do you think Samson learned the lesson he should have learned? Of course he did not. And we can relate to Samson in our life and use him as an example of how someone began to do what's right but did not end up on doing the right thing. I believe there's reasons why good Christian people make the same mistakes over and over again. I believe there's reasons why. And I know we like to have our excuses for them, and we like to try to say it's this or that. But the Bible teaches us some things here that I believe we can learn. Number one is this: even the best Christians have a sin nature that needs to be crucified. Let me say that again, and these are just some introduction points here, and then we'll get into the application part in just a minute. Even the best Christians have a sin nature that need to be crucified. Folks, I don't know about you, but I got to deal with the flesh. And if we're honest, we all have to deal with the flesh. Because here's the thing as a Christian, you either deal with the flesh or the flesh deals with you. And let me read some verses to you here. You don't have to turn there, but listen. Romans chapter 7, we know these verses, but man, they're good. Verse 14 through 18, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And if we're going to continue doing what's right, if we're going to keep on the straight and narrow and live our lives the way God wants us to live, and we've got to understand that the flesh needs to be crucified. Have you ever tried just to do what's right? I mean, have you ever just decided that no matter what, you're just not going to try to sin? The very thought that we can muster up the power to be good is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Paul nailed it right to the wall when he said in verse 18, for I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Listen to me, folks. That is why we need a Savior. If we could deal with the sin problem on our own, we wouldn't need Jesus. Even the strongest Christians are going to stumble if things are done in the power of the flesh. Hey, folks, I know it's exciting. I know we're working around here trying to serve the Lord and get things done. But let me just plead to you, folks, let's not do it in the power of the flesh. Let's not do it. Someone told me this one time, and this is a good saying. Don't allow your work to replace your walk. Don't allow your work for God to replace your walk with God. Because, folks, we can for some time do some things in the flesh. But according to what we just read, that our flesh profiteth nothing. If it's going to matter for eternity, we need to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must learn to crucify our flesh. We need to be walking dead men for Christ. Every day there ought to be a time of self-crucifixion. Fiction and crucify our flesh. And listen to me, folks, if we're going to do what's right, we must realize that even the best of Christians have a sin nature that needs to be crucified. Number two, an introduction is this: every person has some blind spots. What am I talking? I'm talking about this. Every person have weaknesses that sometimes they may not see or recognize. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, David pleads to God and says this: search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 19, verse 12, who can understand his errors? That's a question there. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You see, folks, sometimes in our lives, the devil's so good at what he does. We're so good at not allowing the Word of God to highlight things in our life that sometimes there's some blind spots. There's some areas where maybe that we don't see sometimes that are in our life, and that's why we need some help. Let me give you a great illustration of this. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, I won't read the whole account tonight, but there's a story of David and Nabal. And if you know this story, It's an excellent Bible story. And basically what we have here, David's men, they're out in the wilderness, they're fighting, they're looking for some provision. He sent his servants ahead. He comes to a man, the Bible says he was a great man, but the Bible says he was churlish and evil. And he and they went to his servants, they asked this man for some provision. And we find here in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 12, the response. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him the sayings. And David said unto him, gird ye every man on his sword. And they girded every man his sword. And David girded his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men, 200 abode by the stuff. What was happening here? This man Nabal refused David help. So David says, fine, let's just go get what we need. Let's go kill Nabal. Let's just deal with him. He's a wicked man. He's an evil man. But you see, there was someone in Nabal's life who foresaw something. It was his wife, Abigail. And we find, continue reading here in verse 13, this was told to Abigail, and she comes to plead for the mercy and tries to come and plead for mercy for Nabal and the family. Verse 27, let's pick up reading and see what it says. Now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought to my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and even an evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. What we have here is Abigail comes to David, brings the provisions, and pleads for mercy to David for Nabal. And David said unto Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And now, don't miss it. Here's the point I'm trying to make. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging, notice here, myself with mine own hand. You see, God took care of Nabal in his own way, in his own time. This is what happens to Nabal. And it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. You see what happened here? David was so blinded by his rage. He was blinded by the fact that this man would not help him, and he was going to go destroy Nabal. You know what? It was not God's will for David to destroy Nabal. It was something David didn't see in his life, and God allowed Abigail to come into his life to help him not do something he shouldn't have done. You see, folks, we all have blind spots, but unfortunately, we don't all have an Abigail. Unless your name's Ryan Tharp and you have one, amen? Or we'll have one soon. But listen to me, folks. We all have blind spots. And you know what? God puts certain people in our lives to help us see those blind spots. You know what? God puts people in our lives who will tactfully point out those to us and help us from keep making the same blunders over and over again. By the way, study the story. See how Abigail treated David. She didn't come to him in a haughty manner. She didn't come to him in a proud way. In fact, she brought the provisions for David and entreated David. And in doing so, David realized, hey, wait a minute. This isn't God's will for me to do this. This is something I shouldn't be doing. And the Bible says that David did not bring that blood upon him. He did not avenge himself. Because it's very important, folks. You know, we all have blind spots. We all do. Hey, that's why I'm glad we have a pastor who's willing to stand up here and help us point out our blind spots. Amen? Hey, parents, that's our job, to help our children point out their blind spots. And God puts different people in our lives to help us point out our blind spots. Hey, if we're going to keep on doing right, we got to understand that. We can't just bristle and get mad every time someone comes alongside and tries to help us see something that we can't see. So first of all, in order for us to keep on doing right, we said every Christian must have deal with their sin nature. Number two, every person has to understand about their blind spots. Number three is this: many Christians have unattended spiritual weaknesses. Let me say that again. Many Christians have unattended spiritual weaknesses. Look here with me in Judges, back to Samson's life here in chapter 15, verse 1. Look what it says here. But it came to pass within a while, after in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. You know what? This was Samson's mate. This is a major sin problem in his life that he refused to deal with. Here, this woman who is his wife, she just used him. She sold him out. And we find out here that Samson was going back to her. He kept going back to her, trying to go back to the same thing that he could not get victory over. That is why we have the preaching of the Word of God in our lives, folks, for us to identify and deal with these spiritual weaknesses in our life. You see, that Samson, his parents tried to help him deal with his spiritual weakness. And we find that out when he entreated them for this woman. Verse 3 tells us, back in chapter 14, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughter of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. You see, Samson had an unattended spiritual weakness. And we see where it got him. Because he refused to deal with this weakness in his life, he ended up, of course, we know his end. It was not a good fate. Let me tell you something. That was not the will of God for Samson. Now, I'm glad, because of God's mercy, God used Samson to accomplish some things. By the way, you go back, check out Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Guess who's there? Samson is. Now that's just all a tribute to God's mercy. But let me tell you something. Samson could have done way more for his life if he would have stuck with the will of God. By the way, guess what? He didn't do God's purpose. God's purpose for his life was to get rid of the Philistines. And we find out, because he didn't do that, the Philistines gave Israel trouble throughout their whole entire existence. Why? Because Samson did not do right. God wanted to raise him up. Why? Because he had unattended spiritual weakness. He started doing what's right, but he did not finish doing what was right. And then why is it that sometimes we don't keep doing right? Number 4 is this. Many Christians have too much pride. Well, let's just park here for a minute, folks. And many Christians have too much pride. You know, according to the Bible, we are to deal with pride in our lives and not let it control us. Proverbs 8:13 tells us this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. You want to know some things God hates? He just said what they were. Pride is, and by the way, pride lots of times is the catalyst of those other sins. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 tells us this. Likewise, ye younger, submit. What's the opposite of being proud? Is being humble and submitting. Submit unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. This was a huge part of Samson's problem. Why in the world would he go back and try to rekindle this relationship with this woman who betrayed him? He wanted to get back at the men who figured out his riddle. Look here with me in verse 3 of chapter 15. That's exactly what it says. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure? Why did Samson, what was he doing here? Well, his pride got in the way. He was mad. That they figured out his riddle. And because of that, he kept doing and not doing the things that were right. He kept going back for more. Why? Because of his pride. And there's pride is one of the main issues, folks, that'll keep us from doing the things that we ought to do that are right. The Bible tells us to deal with pride. Listen to me. Hey, thank God. God uses us to do some things, folks. But let me just remind you, it's not us, it's Him. Amen. Hey, I'm glad God was able to use me yesterday to see someone saved. But you know what? He did that in spite of me. He didn't do that because I'm anything. I'm just nothing but a wicked, rotten sinner. And you know what? Anytime God allows any of us to see anything done for Him, let's just remember, it's Him that does it. It's not us. Let me tell you, the surest way to get God's blessing off our bus ministry is for us to start getting a bunch of proud people. Hey, you know, folks, listen to me. I'm just telling you, I'm just talking to you as the family tonight. I'm telling you what the things that affect me that I have to deal with. And we must deal with the pride issue. We must deal with it. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to see God's blessing. I want to see God fill those pews down there in our teen Sunday school class. I want to see God fill every seat on those buses. I want to see all these pews filled on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord, He's doing some of that, folks. But listen to me. Let's not let pride get in the way. Amen? Because, hey, that's a sure way. That's a sure way for us to stop doing what's right. Because if we're going to keep on doing right, we must deal with pride. We must deal with pride. So what are the things that keeps us from doing right? Our sin nature that's left uncrucified, spiritual blind spots, unattended spiritual weakness, and pride. Now, here's the message tonight. All that was introduction. Here's the message. Here's the remedy. Man, I like, you know what I like about preaching? I like it that God makes the Bible very, very practical. God doesn't just tell us why to do things lots of times. He tells us how to do them. And that's the purpose of the Word of God, is so we can take it and apply it to our lives. And so tonight, let me give you four areas how to deal with these issues and how to keep on doing right. Number one is this: hook up with someone who will keep you accountable. Let me say that again. Hook up with someone who will keep you accountable. You know, one of the most striking things we see about Samson is that we never see him with a good friend. Read the story. It's always Lone Ranger mentality with Samson. He was going to do it. He was going to rely on his strength and his wit and all this and all that. You know what? Lot had Abraham. Moses had Aaron. Caleb had Joshua. David had Jonathan. Paul had Barnabas and Silas. But apparently, Samson had nobody. You see, statistics tell us that 85% of violent crime victims in America are alone when they are attacked. You know what? That's not surprising. You know what? Bad guys know that they will be most successful when their victims are alone. And you know what? Satan knows the exact same thing. And he will try and isolate you so that he can dominate you. That's why as Christians, we must stay accountable. We must stay accountable. Listen to me, husbands. Hey, stay accountable to your wife. Hey, you know what? There's hardly no time, whether I'm going from point A to point B, that I don't call my wife and tell her where I'm going to be. You know why? Because it just helps me stay accountable. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? If you're not married, then find someone to help keep you accountable. Accountability is very important in the Christian life. Hook up with someone who will help keep you accountable. Proverbs 27:6 tells us this: faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Hey, you know what? Being accountable to someone sometimes isn't real pleasant, especially if they're a true friend. Because if you're doing something you shouldn't do, a real friend, someone who you can be accountable to, will say, hey, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't do that. That doesn't look the best. Hey, you know what? That could affect your testimony. Listen to me, folks. Once again, don't let your pride well up. Don't let the flesh well up. Realize, just like the Bible says here, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And sometimes, you know what, friends wound us a little bit. But you know what, it's good for us, amen? Because sometimes we need that. So hook up with someone who will help keep you accountable. You know what, I believe if Samson, and you know, by the way, you know, it wasn't because there wasn't anyone. It's probably because Samson didn't want to have anyone. It's not that there wasn't anyone to be accountable to. In fact, we find out that his parents were good parents. And his parents tried to hold him accountable, but he did not allow himself to be accountable to his parents. And as Christians, let us hook up with someone who will help keep us accountable. Hey, you know what? Seldom do I see the teenager who has a good friend that doesn't keep on doing right. And Brother Earl back here during the history fair. And by the way, Brother Earl, his testimony is amazing, the things that he went through and made it through. But you know what one of his testimonies was? He told me the reason he made it, because him and his buddy watched out for each other. And those two came back alive. Those two made it back. You know why? Because he had someone to help him, to help watch his back. Listen to me. Now, if we can do that in everyday life, hey, as Christians, let's do that in our spiritual life. Have someone to help watch out for you. Let's find someone to help us stay accountable. So hook up with someone who will keep you accountable. Number two is this: give up your rationalizations. Hook up with someone who will keep you accountable and give up your rationalizations. What am I saying there? Quit trying to justify your behavior. Yes, sir. Now, folks, this applies to all of us, amen? You know what? We give way too much credit to the devil. We sure do. I mean, you ever talk to those people, it's always, well, the devil did this. The devil's after me. You know, the devil made me do it. Or, you know, the devil's really attacking me today. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian who's dominated by your flesh, I hate to tell you, the devil has nothing to do with you. You know why? Because our flesh dominates us. Why would Satan waste time with someone who hasn't disciplined themselves? Give up our rationalizations. Quit trying to justify our bad behavior. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15 tells us this: and you, being dead in your sins and in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Listen to me, folks. Jesus took away the dominant power of our enemy. He took away that power. Now, that doesn't mean that we should underestimate Satan. And that doesn't mean that Satan and his hordes aren't powerful. And it doesn't mean that we can have a whatever attitude about that and have victory. But it does mean that you don't have to be dominated by sin. You don't have to be dominated by sin, folks. Hey, if you are doing things you shouldn't do, okay, you know what? You can stop them. Amen? And we can have victory. Hey, if you are doing what's right, you can keep doing right. Amen? Give up your rationalization. Quit trying to justify our behavior. And you know what? We're all good at that, folks. Sure we are. It's amazing. When either we get in trouble or someone we're trying to deal with gets in trouble, everyone wants to try to justify it instead of just saying, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. Amen? And so let's not rationalize things. Okay, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hey, what a perfect formula there. Look what James gives us. Submit to God. Hey, that's the first thing we got to do. We got to be willing to submit to God. I've been teaching this to our young people, how to have victory over our enemies. And one way to have victory, folks, James 4:7 lays it out, plain and simple. Submit yourselves therefore to God. You know, that's the first thing. The first thing is our responsibility. We must submit to God. Once again, that entails humility. That entails us dealing with our pride. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Notice here, resist the devil. Resist the devil. And I don't know about you, but resisting doesn't mean, you know, just kind of trying. Well, I'll try. I'll try to beat the devil. No, that's not what resisting means. Resisting means when the devil comes around, you pick up your old sword, you start slashing at him. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now, if someone tries to break into my house, I'm going to resist them. I'm going to resist them with the .40 caliber hollow point. Amen? And I'm not going to just, you know, try to scare them away. I'm going to resist. Now listen to me. Hey, as Christians, we must resist the devil. Resist the devil. You know why we don't have victory lots of times? It's because we don't resist. We don't resist. Submit to God. Resist the devil. So give up rationalizations. Quit trying to justify our behavior. Number one, hook up with someone who will keep you accountable. Number two, give up rationalizations. Number three is this. Line up your life with God's word. Line up. Line up your life with God's word. Hey, if you want to, listen to me. We understand this. But most of us plant gardens. If you want to make a straight line, you've got to string it out. Amen? I mean, you know, try putting fence posts in without stringing it out. You know, try getting those tomato plants just right without stringing them out. Hey, you know what? Most of the time, if we try to do it by hand, we're pretty crooked, aren't we? And, but it looks good. Well, I'm just going to eyeball it. Well, you know what? Eyeballing it sounds good, but it usually doesn't make a straight line. And, hey, the only way for our life to stay straight is to string it out with what the Bible says. You know what? That is why Israel, at this time, is in spiritual darkness, according to the same philosophy. What philosophy? Well, Judges chapter 17, verse 6 tells us, you know it, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did what was right in their eyes. You know what they didn't do? They didn't string their life out by the word of God. Hey, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Hey, it doesn't say he might direct your path. It doesn't say he'll direct certain people's path. Hey, if you'll trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge God, he shall direct your path. Okay, so what do we got to do? We got to line ourselves up with the word of God. You know, most of the times in my life where I'm not doing right or I find myself faltering and failing, you know what the problem is? It's because I haven't lined myself up with the Word of God. Now listen to me. You can't line yourself up with the Word of God if you never read the Word of God. You can't line yourself up with the Word of God if you don't pay attention to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Okay, hey, listen to me, folks. The Bible's pretty powerful, amen? It's a pretty powerful weapon against our enemy. It can keep us on the straight line if we'll just apply it. So line yourself up with the Word of God. And number four, last of all, is this. Power up with the Holy Spirit, amen? Power up with the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the greatest things about reading and studying the Old Testament is seeing how God empowers and enables His people to overcome the most intimidating foes. I mean, think about it. Samson's the perfect example. In Judges 14:6, God empowered him to slay a lion with his bare hands. Now, you know what? That'd have to be God that does that, because that's just plain stupidity to try to do that without God. Chapter 15, verse 19, God empowers him to slay 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Could you imagine? Hey, it'd be hard to slay 1,000 men with the machine gun. I mean, that'd be tough. But Samson slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Hey, you know what? Samson used God's Spirit to accomplish all of these inhuman-like feats. But the saddest thing is, He never employed the same Holy Spirit's power in the battle against temptation. He used the Holy Spirit's power to do some amazing things, but when it came to the matters, the areas in his life that mattered most, he never employed the Holy Spirit's power. But listen to me, just because he didn't doesn't mean that we can't, amen? And let me tell you something, folks, we need God's power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? I mean, the power of God. I mean, does that mean we go, you know, plug everything we can into 220 light or electrical sockets and, you know, get the juice flowing through the building? Of course not. Plugging in the power of God, having the Holy Spirit's power, is just a matter of yielding ourselves to Him. Amen? And Romans 8 tells us this, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of for the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Man, I love that verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's that mean? That means powered up with the Holy Spirit. Hey, you want to see how to get God's blessing more? Hey, you know what we need to do? Power up with the Holy Spirit, amen? You say, well, I just teach the 2 and 3 year olds. Hey, you know what? We all need the power of God. Whether it's 2 and 3 year olds, whether it's 4 and 5s, whether it's teenagers, whether it's adults. Hey, whether you're driving a bus, whether you're a captain of the bus, whatever you're doing, whether you're sweeping the floor, cleaning the bathroom, we all need to power up with the Holy Spirit, amen? Hey, and not just in the work of the church, by the way. We need to be powered up with the Spirit as we go out to the world and live our daily lives. Amen. Hey, we need to be powered up with the Spirit, gentlemen, when we go to work tomorrow. We need to be powered up with the Holy Spirit, ladies, when we're trying to when you're trying to raise your children to serve the Lord. Power up with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Once again, let me read a couple more verses here. "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Notice here, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be life and peace. You see, Paul, when he was writing this to real, breathing people just like you and me. You know, sometimes I think that we forget that the people in the Bible were real just like us. I mean, sure, God used them, but hey, they were no different than we are. Hey, they had to put their sandals on just the way we had to put our shoes on, amen? And, you know, that they had to do the same things that we do. You know, that they weren't, you know, some superhuman people. You know, they had to submit to the Spirit just like we had to submit to the Spirit. And listen to me. You will have, Paul's message here is very simple. You will have a sinful nature that works against you, but God's Spirit is more powerful. He will be the secret to your success. Yes, it's important to hook up with a friend. It's important to try not to justify your sin. It's important to line yourself up with the Word of God. But listen to me. Even those measures will eventually fail if you don't tap into the Holy Spirit's power. Hey, all those things are important, but man, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is why we must empty ourselves of sin and pride, folks. The Holy Spirit can't fill what's already full. I know what I'm saying is things we hear around here all the time, but it's good for us to be reminded of it, amen? It's good for us to be reminded of it. That's why we must every day empty ourselves of sin and self. Man, we're so full of those two things, aren't we, amen? We're all full of sin, we're all full of self. But you know what? That's the only way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be empty of those things. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I want to keep on keeping on, amen? Hey, when Jesus comes, I want to be doing right. Hey, and I understand that we all have times where we may falter a little bit. But you know what? I don't want to be faltering on the day that Jesus comes back to get us. You know, we can't afford to falter. We got to keep on keeping on. And so I pray that we can do these things. Hook up with someone who will hold you accountable. I'm talking about right now. Hey, you know what? I'm glad for our pastor's prayer partner team. You know what that helps us do? It helps us stay accountable, amen? Someone you can talk to, someone you can pray with, someone you can help stay accountable in your life. Number 2, give up trying to rationalize. Don't justify your sin. Hey, let me tell you the best thing to do with your sin is confess it, amen? Hey, here's a point to remember about our sin, okay? If we try to cover our sin ourselves, God will reveal our sin. But if we confess our sin, God will cover our sin. Amen? Listen, it's not that we don't sin. It's that we need to deal with our sin the right way. Amen? So don't rationalize it. Don't justify it. Line yourself up with the Word of God. Line it up. Amen? Hey, when the Word of God's preached, just do what it says. Just do what it says. Hey, let's not be like the Christians James is writing to. Hearers only and not doers. Let's be doers of the Word of God. And last of all, power up with the Holy Spirit's power. Power up with the Holy Spirit's power. We need to keep on keeping on, amen? We need to keep on doing right. Thank, praise the Lord for a church who's behind the pastor, who's doing right. But hey, let's keep on doing that, amen? Let's keep on keeping on. Why? Because Jesus is coming really soon. He's coming, folks. Hey, just take a look around. Okay, check out the news. See what's going on. We're there. We're in the last of the last days. He's coming. Let's keep on doing right, and let's keep working for Him till He comes. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for all You've done for us. And God, we need You. Thank You for allowing us to just briefly tonight look at the life of Samson. And Lord, help us, Lord, not to do those type of things and make the same pitfalls he made. God, please help us to keep on keeping on, God. Help us to do what's right. Lord, I know there's a lot of good people at this church, God, and I thank You for them, God. But just help us, Lord. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes, Lord, we allow sin to come into our lives, Lord. But to help us to deal with those things so we can keep doing right for You. God, we love You. We just thank You for all You've done. Bless this time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.